Many of us have seen the home movie footage that captured the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, also known as the Zapruder film. This footage proved to be invaluable to the assassination investigation. To this day, it's one of the most studied pieces of film ever taken.
Joining us now to talk about how amateur film can be used for historical research is Amy Sloper, film archivist at the Wisconsin Center for Film and Theater Research. Amy, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that Zapruder film is maybe the most famous example of this sort of home shot footage, which is then used and mined and poured over later for historical facts and details. But can you talk about some of the other amateur films that have been important, maybe not at that level, but also significant?
Sure. All home movies are important in their own way, but there are some others. The Zapruder film is on the National Film Registry. There's other examples of home movies that are on the National Film Registry, which are, the film registry is about, it takes films and showcases them, films that are important for American cultural heritage. So the other one is called Topaz. And that's a film from 1945 that was shot by a man who was interned in a Japanese-American internment camp in Utah. So it showed what life was like inside the camp. So that one's really important as well.
Right. That one sounds fascinating, especially since there weren't supposed to be video cameras inside the internment camp. So looking at Topaz, that film that was taken from that location during this specific time in U.S. history, what do we learn from it?
Well, it's, you know, it's an insight into what life was like for the people inside that camp. And a lot of people say the people look really happy inside in that movie, but people act a certain way in front of a camera, and that's important to remember. I don't think life was that happy inside of an internment camp. So the camera adds a level of interest for people. But yeah, it's just like the document of what it was actually like.
And didn't I read that the guy who shot that film from the internment camp, as someone who was living there, he said, I stayed away. I didn't want my camera to get taken away. So you didn't see the guards and you didn't see the fences and the barbed wire.
Right, exactly. And he wasn't supposed to have that camera in there. But I think he worked in the place where stuff was coming in and out of the camp, essentially, so he had access to getting that material.
So how do we know if what we're shooting is going to have any value for posterity, for history? Should we just do it for ourselves and our families, or should we be shooting with an eye to history?
I think we should all just shoot with an eye to our families, but keep in mind that what we shoot is important to other people. So, of course, our home movies are important for our immediate families, for our future ancestors. But also the things you're capturing are documenting culture as it's happening. So home culture, especially the way we celebrate birthdays, the way we celebrate holidays, and also the things in the background end up being really important. So the way that the cars looked, the fashion that people wore, what the inside of people's houses looked like, all ends up being really important information for historians.
Well, we live in an era when filmmaking has been democratized to a large extent. You don't need expensive cameras. You don't need expensive film. Lots of times a phone will do it. It's as simple as that. There are some other ways, of course, too. But does this mean we're going to be seeing lots and lots of this stuff now that could hold clues? And people looking back will say, that's important. So I'm glad we have all this.
Yeah, I think so. It's true, we're going to have a lot more footage like this. The nice thing about 8mm and Super 8 film is a roll was only 4 minutes long. So it could only last for 4 minutes. And when you find that stuff, you know, you find a roll of film in an archive, or you find them at antique shops a lot now, or flea markets, you know it's going to be 4 minutes. And in the future, people are going to, even VHS tapes last for 120 minutes. So we're only, you know, exponentially increasing the amount of footage we have. And as an archivist, that, of course, makes me nervous. It's just a lot of stuff to deal with. But it's still important.
Well, I mean, would you go so far as to say maybe we shouldn't go crazy with our home videos and shoot 120 minutes? Maybe we should just shoot 4 or 5 minutes of film.
Or at some point, it's important to think about what you think is the most important of the 6 hours that you shot, and maybe make sure you're saving the most important 20 minutes of footage or the most important section of footage and editing that out, or, you know, just making sure you're taking care of the file.
And it's also easier than ever, it seems like, to edit the film that we have. You don't need to be an expert anymore to do this. Does that raise questions about the authenticity, the veracity of what we're seeing?
Yeah, I think especially when you're talking about going back to the Zapruder film, you know, things that are documenting crimes or footage that's documenting events that could be used as evidence. It is easy to re-edit things. You know, we've had good examples of edited video being used against people in the news lately. So, it's something to think about. But the best thing that I think anyone can do is to manage their own archives of material, is to just try to save the best parts, the things that you think are the most important, and don't just shoot something and forget about it and expect someone else to take care of it for you in the future, because the truth is that with digital files, if you don't manage it now, in 10 years, it might not even open on your computer. So it's best to be thinking about it now.
All right. We're going to get into some of that advice about how to do just that in just a bit as we talk with Amy Sloper, film archivist at the Wisconsin Center for Film and Theater Research. We're talking about how these amateur films that we're shooting today may have big historical impact and may be of great interest to someone down the road as they take a look at our life and our times. And so, Amy, you said we have to manage the film that we take now. So how do we go about doing that?
Sure. So depending on what format your footage is on, there are different recommendations. So if you have film, which would be Super 8 film, 8mm film, or 16mm film that maybe came from your family, there's certain things you can do. The film itself, you should always save the original. You should store it in storage conditions where you yourself would be comfortable. So moderate temperature, moderate humidity, not in an attic, not in a basement. If you decide to digitize those films, you should still always keep the original. And then once you get to a file format, you should be migrating and opening that file at least every 5 years to make sure that the file format still works and that you still have some software that will open the file. If you have home movies on VHS tape or other videotape formats, you can also migrate those. You can digitize them, but still save the originals.
Because you're using the word migrate a lot. Mm-hmm. So explain a little more about what you mean by that and how we migrate something.
So by that, I mean digitizing it into a file format. So there are ways you can do this yourself. Especially, it's easier with certain things. Usually with film, you need to send it to a professional lab to have them do it. But VHS tape, you can pretty easily and cheaply convert it to a digital file with your computer and with spending less than $100 on a little converter. And there's information about how to do that on the Library of Congress's website, digitalpreservation.gov.
Okay.
They have nice guidelines for that. Your digital files when you're taking movies on your phone, they're already digital files, so you don't have to worry about migrating, but you do have to take them off your phone at some point and put them on your computer, put them in a safe spot, or, you know,
what about something like a thumb drive? Is that too temporary?
It's a little temporary. Maybe you could have a few thumb drives with the same file on it. That would be a good idea. And make sure those are in a moderate environment, so not in a box buried in your basement where there might be a flood someday.
And, you know, most people who are taking these videos of their lives, their loved ones, they're probably not thinking about history. But if someone is a history buff and you know that you are at an event that might be historic, maybe a big demonstration, a social movement somehow, any advice about how to capture that moment on film?
You would want to, as you're recording it, be as steady as possible. So you get a clear picture. And then afterwards, make sure you take, if you're using your phone, take that file off of your phone and put it someplace safe. So on your computer and maybe another copy on a hard drive. And just make sure you open it regularly, like at minimum every 5 years, to make sure it still opens and the file format is still supported by your computer.
So open it regularly, take a look, and make sure everything's still in working order.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, great advice, Amy. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Amy Sloper, film archivist at the Wisconsin Center for Film and Theater Research.